Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Before we start today, we have one request. If you genuinely are enjoying the show here, then please leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast app, because it really helps us to grow the podcast and ensures that we bring you great marketing tips and advice each week. Now, today I'm joined by Phil Singleton, author of SEO for Growth. Phil, how are you doing?
Great. I'm so happy to be here today. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And I'm calling you, and you're in sunny Kansas. I mean, it's not really sunny at the moment, is it?
It actually is. It is pretty sunny. It's got a little frost on the ground today after like a 60-degree day yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, but it was cloudy yesterday and it's cleared up today. So
fantastic.
I think you brought the sunshine for me. Thanks.
Well, I'm glad I could help in some way. I'm becoming quite interested, actually, in the meteorological aspects of the USA. I've learned that, especially this time of year, we have a big sort of blob of cold that comes down, don't you, from the north. So it's all very cold unless you go quite a long way south.
We do, it's just like that. It seems like a kind of blob kind of comes down and it pulls back. So we've got really unstable weather around this time of year, but I think the cold is probably going to be coming for good here pretty soon.
Right, let's start off. Moving away from the weather, tell us about yourself and how you got into SEO and digital marketing.
Yeah, I took a very unconventional, path. I went to school for business and finance and rolled out of that. Luckily, in my early 20s, I rolled into a job. So to have one, I was really happy, but I was with an insurance company, so not the most exciting place to be. But, it was 3 or 4 years into that place where, I was in a cubicle, kind of doing a single focus job. And every kind of day that went by, I'd look at the alarm clock and be like, oh, no, I have to go to work. And I got to work and I was like, oh, no, this day's lasting forever type of thing. So you're almost kind of in these cubicle, soul crushing cubicle jobs.
Right.
And I just knew after a certain period of time that this wasn't going to be for me. And I think I got to one point where I was like, I have got to do something different because I just felt like my life, my destiny was basically being pulled down somebody else's, so to speak.
Yeah.
And if I didn't make it, and every year that goes by, I felt like I was kind of getting pigeonholed into almost like a specialty. And I didn't want to be like some of the guys around me that had been there for 20 or 30 years, in the insurance industry. And probably each year that went by, it got harder to leave because, they're making halfway decent money and doing something that they didn't really like to do. So I made a drastic move. And I said, really in the course of about 2 weeks, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I quit my job. I sold all my stuff and I moved to Asia.
Wow.
Just like right out of the blue. My parents thought I'd lost my mind. All my friends thought I'd lost my mind. I probably did lose a little bit of it. But I was like, man, I'm going to totally change my career path trajectory and do something totally different and have no regrets type of thing. And I ended up moving to Taiwan of all places because I wanted to study Mandarin and I was not quite brave enough to go into China at that time.
Yeah.
Because this is going back like 20 years. So. And I did. I went there and it was great. I learned Chinese, ended up meeting my wife today, went back to the States and then got my MBA and I got a job right back out of school. It took me there another 8 years. But what got me into SEO and digital marketing was I had ended up during the dot-com era working for some, like software companies and tech companies. And when that thing popped a year or two after that, I'd been doing some consulting work and this one company called DVDX Copy. I don't know if that rings a bell to you or anybody might be listening, but there was a company Napster before that, right, that had all the audio issues.
I remember Napster.
There was there was one that the digital video version of that was called DVD-X copy and enabled people to, you know, make backup movies of their movies. They did really great in the United States, but got in a epic battle with Hollywood and ended up losing. But they sold the crap out of the software for like 3 years. Well, I had to happen to be in Asia and that ended up, I worked with these guys trying to expand their business into Asia. And when Hollywood took them down in the U.S., it was still, you know, okay to sell this software around the world and online. And this company basically just fell in my lap. So that's when I learned the power of Google and the power of like online selling. Because even at that time, this is going back about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Most of our sales were coming from affiliate marketers, right? And the big ones that had these websites and their forums and the precursors to blogs and all this kind of stuff that had the traffic for these audiences, they were getting like 50% of the software sale. So this was all new to me because I was a finance nerd and this company just kind of fell into my lap. And I said I could run it not knowing that I could, but what could I do? I was going to take advantage of the opportunity that came in front of me. Mm. So I learned a ton about, you know, software development and web design. And in particular, it really struck me how powerful Google was in terms of driving affiliate sales because people were looking how to, you know, copy DVD movies and get DVD software and those kind of stuff. And what really struck me also was how in an affiliate sale, we were getting, for the big affiliates, we were getting like 50% of the sale. So a $99 piece of software, we'd get $50 of that. I had 25 employees, investors, product support. Our piece of that pie got whittled down to nothing. Where these guys that were the affiliate marketers, you know, we were cutting them $50,000-$80,000 checks a month. Again, this is going back 15 years ago, and we weren't their only affiliates, with the bigger ones. And so these guys, and I don't know, they were just running their own websites and probably working like an hour a day and just making a killing out of it. So it was at that time I was like, wow, I'm on the wrong side of the equation. Follow the ROI trail. It goes to Google and basically your own website. And I think that experience really kind of woke me up to the power of Google and digital marketing, all this kind of stuff. So long story short, moved back to the U.S. to kind of start a family, landed in the Midwest where I have roots. And I ended up doing this one on a trade deal. I ended up doing this one ugliest version of a one-page Microsoft front page website on a barter deal for this auto detailer.
Yeah.
And I had no business doing this either because, again, I'm an outsider. I didn't learn this business like some of these guys do today. You know, they grow up with it. I came from the outside. And I promised this guy a website that I had no business doing because I'd never built a website before. But I figured, hey, I'm going to do this. If I flub it up, I'll pay somebody else to bail me out. But I did a barter deal with him.
Yeah.
And I ended up making a website, one-page website, very ugly, but I got it to rank in like 60 days. He calls me up not long after and says, hey, Phil, I don't know what you've done, but you've changed my business. You've changed my life, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, wow. At that time, again, I'm over 30 years old. I was like, I know what I want to be when I grow up. And I had the most rewarding conversation with a business person that I've ever had. So yeah. It was very rewarding that way. But it was also like, I can make some money off of this. You know what I mean? Because he's making money and I can start charging people. So that one little barter website on that front page, 2005, is rolled into an agency that we've done literally hundreds of custom WordPress website and have scores of SEO digital clients that we have right now. And I've built a thriving digital agency off of that. So that's my story. It's kind of a rant, but it's kind of a winding thing. And unless you don't know how I got here, I guess it adds some perspective.
You know, it's a really exciting story. It's funny, actually, because when you were mentioning that you were in a cubicle at the beginning, I was picturing the first opening few scenes of The Matrix, the original Matrix film, and I thought for a minute you were going to suddenly being pursued by two men in dark suits and glasses.
That's about how fast I ran out of there when I decided I was going to move. So, yeah, it's a great
Tell us about the book and SEO for Growth. How did that come about, the book project?
You know, there's been so many, obviously, you know, big twists and changes in the way SEO has evolved. So, you know, to me, I'm a natural introvert. So what I liked about SEO was that in the early days when you could do a lot of things on the website and with, you know, back office backlink building, which was what drove the industry for a long time, you know, I could make a big difference with people without ever having to meet folks or do a lot of extroverted type of activities. Of course, that's changed a lot now, right? But what ended up happening, what I saw was, geez, you know, the nature of SEO and getting results of people has really changed. It's kind of become a more holistic thing. I really got to understand the broader picture of marketing to really help my clients out more. But I think be positioned to get better long-term results really for SEO because, you know, they talked about, when I say Google, talked about content being king for a long time. But I think after this Panda and Penguin and all these subsequent changes came up, they really started to mean it, right? So what that meant for me was I really got to get my head around the broader context of digital marketing. And I was drawn into duct tape marketing, John Jantz. I ended up reading his book to kind of get up to speed. I really liked what I read there because it kind of, you know, gave me a good broad picture of it. And then I got pulled into his consulting network. He's got about 120 certified consultants in his network. And at that point, I kind of became the SEO guy within there. I showed him my stuff. I pitched him on a book project, and I think I developed a relationship and some trust with him, and he was, you know, very happy to come on, and we co-authored this book, and that's how I was able to kind of basically, because at that time, you know, he's basically a handshake away from every digital influencer out there, and he is one himself. So that was a great way for me to kind of influence hack, right? I kind of rode his coattails, and I did so by joining his network and really trying to show him my best stuff, because I had the early intention of saying, hey, you know, I'm never going to be able to – he got started like in the early 2000s. It's going to be take a really long time for me to try and build that grassroots organically in terms of influence. How can I leverage somebody else? I picked John because he's here in Kansas City, and I love the duct tape stuff, and that's really how I got the book going.
Now, you've had quite a sort of unique – sort of journey and view, haven't you, of sort of the agency business and SEO. What challenges do you see in the agency business sort of now and sort of looking forward, and how do you overcome them?
I think one of the biggest things, and I think probably agencies of all sizes still see this to some degree today, but I'm focusing on larger small businesses and that kind of stuff. So I think one of the first challenges is how do you get, you know, a client to understand that their website really is the key to everything. It's not a digital brochure. It's got to be perceived as a marketing platform. And it's got to be kind of, you know, we all got to have a good web-centric strategy right now to really get the most benefits out of stuff. I think that's a hard thing, especially here in the States, because you get, you know, we're brainwashed on TV with the web builder websites telling us that all you need is a $25 a month or a $50 a month website and you can get listed on Google. And it really kind of cheapens the whole thing and brainwashes, I think, the entire, not just small businesses. It kind of gives people the impression that a website's really still more of a digital brochure and you shouldn't have to spend a lot of time and effort on it. Of course, a lot of us in the digital agency world know that that's a lot different, right? So our whole approach is we got to get in there and convince people, hey, we got to understand your business, reverse engineer a website from the ground up based on your ideal clients and their search behavior and all this kind of stuff. It takes a lot more time. So you're not going to get that with a $1,000 website or a $50 a month web builder. So that's a challenge, I think, in and of itself, is to try and get people convinced that, you know, they've got to build a real website from the ground up, right, and position it, you know, to be kind of the hub of their marketing. The other thing I think is really big is, you know, we still, you know, a lot of businesses, I don't care how big or small they are, a lot of them, when they're looking for outside help, they're searching for some kind of a tactical Band-Aid, right? They all need some kind of strategic help and somebody to help them tie it all together so they get the full benefit out of it. But they tend to look for something, right? They look for, I need a web designer, or I need PPC help, or I need an SEO guy. So for us, our angle is really pitching SEO a little bit more, because it's a great way to come in and say, let's look at your business and marketing the way Google looks at it. And there's a way and approach that we have in the book that kind of helps people tie it all together. And that being said, when you start talking about like SEO and things, you know, some of this stuff, any digital marketing really, but and a whole plan, but particularly with SEO, you need time to show results, right? And I'm not talking about some people are going to go in there and maybe push the limit with, you know, PBNs and other types of gray hat things that might be able to move the needle a little bit quicker. But if you're looking for a sustainable, long-term, healthy relationship with a client, and you do it the right way, you really need more time, I think, to start showing, to roll things out and to start showing results, at least from the organic standpoint. So getting people past that, I call SEO fatigue, about that 6 to 12 month period where you've probably shown them a lot of work and you've actually probably shown them a lot of traffic and things like that, but they might not necessarily have seen the full benefit of the ROI in terms of sales or getting the leads in right now. That to me becomes a challenge. So figuring out some way to position an engagement so that they buy into it earlier and are willing to give the initial program that time. Because for us, you know, we do lose clients sometimes in that 6 to 12 month period, but after they stay with us a year and see the full benefits of things, we tend to have them for years and years. And that's what we're in the business for. We're not in the business for a one-time web gig or 6 months of an SEO, because that's where lots of like where the, you know, a lot of the lower margin work goes into it. It's really trying to get people to become part of their team. And I think that's a challenge. So trying to find and position an engagement that gets people excited and gets some buy-in so that they're willing, you know, to look at this more of a long-term. Because, you know, sometimes tell people 4 to 6 months or 6 to 12 months, they still hear sometimes or hope for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes,
or six
yes.
to 12, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, customer expectations.
So that's a problem, I think, that a lot of us, and I think will resonate with a lot of your listeners.
Yeah.
And how do you overcome that piece?
Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So what strategies and tactics are getting results for you and your clients right now, Phil?
So, you know, this year's been a really big year for me in terms of I've gotten a lot more involved with podcasting. And
yeah,
it's one of those things where I think it's like the greatest thing ever type of a deal. And it's one of those things where guys like you and your company obviously have been doing it a long time. So it seems like that happens every 1 or 2 years. I'm just like kicking myself why I haven't started earlier. But I initially tried to think about, okay, I'm going to start my own podcast. And then I started thinking, okay, maybe a way to dip my toes into it is to get booked on other podcasts. And I started doing that. So once I started getting booked on other folks' podcasts as a guest or as a guest expert, I started to see some of the benefits that were coming in that were, I thought, really fantastic for a relatively short period of time that I had to spend. Okay. So, and what I like to do when I say this is, I like to compare this to a very popular form of content marketing, which is guest blog posting, right? So you have to go out and either hire somebody to do this, or if you do it or somebody like I do it internally, I'm going to write 1,000 or 1,500 word blog posts and really try and get my good stuff so I can get it placed on an authoritative website that's good quality that's actually going to help my business or help my clients. It's a ton of work. It's a ton of work to do that. You have to go pitch it. It's starting to get It's already really spammy. There's a lot of clients that won't accounts that won't actually do it. I think it still works and it's going to be a part of digital marketing for a long time, especially on SEO engagements. But if you think about podcast guesting, most podcast folks that have podcasts already are advanced content marketers. They have great websites that have a lot of value. The podcast that they have already makes their site more, I think, valuable and higher quality than sites of a similar size without a podcast.
Yeah.
But what's really fascinating about being a guest on somebody's show is that they end up doing show notes for you and they write an entire almost guest blog post about you and they do the work. They do the work.
Yeah.
They do the work in terms of getting on the show. They'll make social graphics for you that are great and have high production value. A lot of times they'll distribute it. Of course, the onus is also on the guest to do their job to go out and distribute it, but that's kind of like a similar win-win there. But you do all this stuff and you spend 20-30 minutes on a show and there's just all these tremendous value that you get out from a relatively short period of time that I think it's the most powerful form of content marketing that I've ever done because there's so many benefits you get off of it, right?
You get
access to a trusted audience that somebody brings you on. You get somebody wrote something about you. They wrote a blog post. They put your backlinks in it that are the purest form, I think, of backlink building that there are out there because you earn them by bringing your A game onto the show, right?
Yes.
But the gift keeps on giving for me because what we've done is we'll go in after a show and we'll say, hey, if you thought I did a really good job, would you mind rating me as a guest on your show? So I've done this in a way where I've actually been able to stack up my reputation. because I've tied reputation management into it, right?
Yeah.
Where we've done that and been able to get like 40, you know, reviews in various places that have helped me. It almost helped me build up my word of mouth marketing, that kind of stuff. We've also gone a secondary step and said, hey, you know what? If you're not going to transcribe the notes, why don't you let us do this at our own expense? We'll post it up on our blog post as a, almost kind of its own post,
yeah,
and give you links back to your website maybe a couple weeks later type of thing. So we get another round of promotion out of it, but then you're actually giving the podcast hosting some extra benefit from your website, right? So there's all these extra things that you can do on top of just being on the podcast where it gives you multiple wins off of it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of getting to the cherry on top. And when I talk about like a process of what's really working, that guesting campaign is really, really awesome. What we've done, so this is what I did. I kind of saw this and I was like, holy cow, there's so many unused benefits that people don't even think about in terms of being a guest on other people's shows. How do we tie this into a strategy that I can use for myself and for my clients that's really going to help us?
Yeah.
And help our clients. And what we've developed, I think, is a very powerful system that enables us to charge. You know, and I'm going to give you a quick step back. My goal in my business is to build somebody a website and charge them a fair fee for it. So a $10,000 website is our target.
Yeah.
And to some people, that's going to sound expensive. To others, it's going to sound cheap, depending on where your agency's at. But my main goal is to try and get monthly engagements that range around $2,000 to $3,000 a month. Now, again, some people are going to think that's low. Some people are going to think it's high. But for me, what I found is we've gotten engagements that are $5,000 and $10,000 a month or more. But the problem with those are the clients want a pound of flesh from you. Mm. They want more time. They want in-person stuff. It's just you're basically the cost of an employee or two. Versus if you're in that $2,000 to $3,000 range, which is still meaningful, you can still semi-scale that out as a de facto consulting agency. So what we've done is we've tried to devise a plan where we can get a high-value, scalable service that I think does a lot in terms of value, but something also we can charge something like that for, and it makes perfect sense. And the way we do it is this. We do the first stage of it, really build the website, reverse engineer it from the ground up with keywords, all that kind of stuff that I think most people are doing. And part of that's going to be develop a plan, a blog posting plan, a social media plan, a reputation management, all the things I think that would be typical of a boutique, you know, a digital marketing agency.
Yeah.
The next thing that we really try and do in step two is we're always doing blogging for our clients. I think blogging is still really the heart and soul of inbound marketing and SEO-driven content marketing.
Yeah.
So what we do for our clients is we never do single blog posts almost. We typically are always going to do blogs in batches of 10 or 15. Mm. And we structure them in a way that almost looks like a table of contents for a book or an ebook. Oh. And that is the end goal, right? So we're going to say, okay, let's sit down, write a list of 15 blog topics that each individual post or chapter will be published as a standalone blog post, so we can still hit our goals in terms of, you know, optimizing those for whatever keyword goals that we have and publish them out and distribute them on social media. But then we can also, at the end of that 10 or 15 works, stitch these together into a PDF for the website as a call to action, right? Build our list.
Like a repurpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you're pre-writing the book. And everybody talks about repurposing, but this is truly repurposing, I think, with a hard strategy in place.
Yeah.
So we'll turn those blog posts into that PDF that will, again, then spin that up into a Kindle. Then what we'll end up doing is put that Kindle up on Amazon, which enables us to make our client an author. That's really shiny and helps us build upon this. What we're really calling an authority-driven engagement, right? So we start talked about this kind of in the green room ahead of the show, but that's really kind of what the pitch is, hey, client, we talk about individual things we need to do to help your website get going. And they hear blog posts, they hear SEO, but they don't really see the whole thing. When you start talking to them about making you or your business an authority and trying to make you the leader in what you're doing, it really seems to resonate with folks more. Mm-hmm. So when we start laying out this four-step plan, I think there's a lot more buy-in. One, and it kind of gets back to the last point we were talking about in terms of giving yourself time. Because if you lay the strategy out and the blog posts and turning somebody into an author, they kind of get that this takes time and that there needs to be some participation in their point. And it does take time. You can't just turn some of this stuff over overnight. You actually have to roll it out and produce these things over the course of months and not weeks. The last thing that we do as part of this process, after we've created the blog strategy and distributed it and post on the website, after we've made a PDF that can turn into a call to action on the website, and after we've made them an author up on Amazon, then we turn to making a podcast guesting campaign for them. Okay.
Yeah.
And a great way to do that is to have a book, because when you go pitch somebody on a podcast, you got to have some kind of an angle. So having a book is a great way to say, hey, just like you do on any podcast, or you see somebody on a TV show, on a radio show, usually they're pitching a new movie or a new book or some other launchable piece of content that they have. So it's a natural angle.
Yeah.
But it also is a shiny thing. You just made them an author. You actually made your client and gave them almost kind of a career milestone, right? And it becomes just a really super shiny thing for them. But what I love about the podcast guesting thing is if you get these guys up on their own campaign where they're getting to be a guest once a month or twice a month or even maybe once a week, and you get them booked on these shows and they're getting all those benefits that we talked about in terms of – you know, getting a post up on a website and getting links, you're almost having your client do some of the valuable SEO tactical work for themselves. They're doing the actual work.
Yes.
If you set it up right.
Yeah.
You following that? And it's actually really powerful stuff because they're, again, reaching audiences. They're getting access to other folks' social media channels. Of course, we always got to position it right because you can't be – Every different business podcast has a different form of audience. So you got to make sure that your client is pitched in a way that adds value to that host so they get a chance to go on the show.
Yeah.
But this problem's a nice, shiny, higher ticket, long-term engagement where you can contribute to your client and where they're actually participating and doing some of the work for you, right? And that's really what we've moved to this year, and it's really, really powerful stuff. It's been really powerful for my business. I've been on 40 podcasts this year. I've never had as much benefit or value or traffic or even sales, you know, that I've actually gotten as a direct result of shows. And we've now started to kind of spin some of our clients into this process. And I think anybody can do it. I think it's a natural no-brainer for any agency owner or solo, even digital marketer. And I think it's a great plan that anybody can really execute to help get people real results, but be able to charge a premium in a way that you can really help grow your business.
I'm interested, actually, because what are your findings? Because presumably getting your client to be a guest on other podcasts is a proactive thing that you were helping them to do. Presumably you're sort of going out there and asking podcasters, what sort of responses are you getting? Are you finding it generally quite easy to end up being a guest on other podcasts?
You know, it is. Now, I've done some outreach myself, but I found this thing so powerful that about a month or two into it, I went and pitched John. I was like, we got to make a business out of this. So about last month, we launched our own business called podcastbookers.com. And we've got a full team of six people that have been doing this for years. We actually acquired them from somebody who essentially gave them up. And they've already got the book of genres. They know how to do it. They've been pitching for so part of it is really educating your client. And we've got a little kind of a video series that we give them. We build up one sheets for them where we've got, you know, sets of questions, and it's a kind of a nice shiny little thing to give to a client. But we also educate them a little bit in the whole thing, because you can't go on a show and start selling people stuff, right?
You gotta
educate. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing, and is telling people you're there to bring value to the host. This is a privilege to be on somebody's show who has a trusted audience. So you have to bring something to them. You have to know who their audience is and do a little bit of research ahead of time and try and speak to them and make sure that when you leave that show that you've given something of value that somebody can act on. So we do a lot of that stuff ahead of time. And most of the people – and this, again, this isn't going to work for every single client. It's an advanced type thing where you got to get some buy into it. But, you know, our approach, our ideal client is the person that wants to be the 800-pound gorilla in their market. So they're already a little bit driven. They're not satisfied with just puttering along like a lot of businesses are. They just don't want to lose business. They want to keep going. But for the folks that really want to dominate and say, I am the best at what I do, we're a growth-driven agency, those kind of entrepreneurs, they want to do it, you know, and they've got something to add anyway. It's just you do have to do a little bit of coaching ahead of time to tell people, hey, you know, we've got to find an angle and we got to make sure that you bring your A game. And when we do that, because you're totally right, what ends up happening is if you don't have a customized pitch for your client to every show, they don't see what the angle is themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the podcast booker has to be able to go to the show and say, hey, I've got this client who's a luxury watch entrepreneur. Well, how does that approach to your show? Well, she's a female and she's gone through, and if you're going through like maybe a woman's entrepreneurial type show, then you've got that angle where you can say, here's the types of things that she, so there's a little bit of, you know, I think of nuance and customization in how you pitch.
Yes.
But if you do it the right way, you can actually get on a wide variety of business type shows.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the key. The thing that really lowers your chance to get booking on a show is when you just try and do a spammy, here's my one sheet, can I be on the show type of thing. They don't, you didn't pitch an angle. Somebody's going to say, I don't see what the angle is. Not a good fit. Sorry. So that's the key, really.
I love it. Authority-driven engagement. I love the name as well. It's always important to give processes good names, isn't it?
Totally. Because at the end of the day, it's like we said. I mean, if you don't get your client to buy into it, they don't give you much of a thing. And if you pitch it in terms of something like authority, which I think is kind of out there already in terms of people understanding the importance, it just makes it, it just makes it more attractive and it's a better chance for buy-in, I think.
Yeah. So if you had one top tip or sort of takeaway for our audience today, Phil, what would it be?
I mean, I really believe in podcast guesting right now. It's just for, like I said, if you're going to go out and do something, really want to bang for the buck, there's just too many wins off of it. Mm. Like I said, I've gotten some of the best backlinks I've ever gotten. I've reached more people than I've ever reached probably in the history of my career because I've been on podcasts like yours, but I've also been, I'm going to be on Chris Ducker's next week. I've been on Entrepreneur on Fire. Mm. And each time I do a podcast and able to get a review, we are able to use those reviews to get you on other podcasts. So you kind of reach your way up the quality change or the audience, I guess, size type of thing.
Yeah.
And again, like the backlinks, even the personal relationships, like you and I are talking right now. Yeah. I think people don't realize the fact that on some of these podcasts I've been on, just by talking with the host, and sometimes they identify with what you're doing and like what you're saying, there's collaboration opportunities to come out of it.
Yeah.
So I've been on with 40 plus advanced content marketers, and there's been some real relationships that have developed out of just by talking with the host and just because they like what we had to say or had a similar background or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I mean, for me, and I've at least gotten $100,000 in new business out of it, I'm probably going to end up with $200,000 if we close some of the stuff that's come in. So there's real money if you do it right. You know what I mean? And that to me is something I hadn't even thought about earlier on because I didn't have a good call to action at the end of the ones that I've been on. And the thing that I'm really kicking myself on is I wish I would have had my own podcast before I started this because I've been on over 40 shows now. Mm. Everybody on there is a podcast consumer. Some of them I'm sure really like to have what I say. I could have probably had hundreds, if not thousands, of my own audience built up on the leverage of others if I would have been smart enough to start my own show ahead of time and built some subscriber list. So that's another thing I'm kicking myself on, but it all kind of comes together. So the moral of the story is, I mean, you guys are like 400 shows into it. So, obviously you're way ahead of, where I am, but it's never too late to start.
I was going to say the same thing, actually, because I was going to say, Phil, it's never too late to start. I'm going to sound like Yoda now. It is never too late to start our podcast. That was a rubbish impersonation, but I would say go for it.
Right. And it's the two pieces, though. It's like you got to do the work on the podcast to give you exit, but I also think that guesting part of it is the other side of the coin. Yeah, I think really to do it right, we should all be doing both of them. Mm. And that's kind of where my whole approach is. Like, you got to think, I've never been on a podcast. I think I was on John's once like last year, and I really didn't even appreciate how powerful it was. Mm. And this year I've been on a bunch of them, but it's really kind of changed my business and I think changed my life. So that's kind of my tip is look into it. And like you said, never too late to start. And it's not getting any smaller. I mean, it seems like I talked to John Jansen. He started his in 2005 and he's like, it was really hot for a little while. Social media came along, kind of died down. Then it's like these last two or three years, it's like blowing up. I mean, there's like podcast, everybody's listening. It's part of mainstream right now. It's not going to go away. It's the way younger generation consumes content anyway. It's not going away. So we all have probably got to make it part of our content, our marketing plan anyway. So
definitely
now's the time.
Well, Phil, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you and your book, SEO for Growth?
Check out SEOforGrowth.com. That's kind of where the book starts. If you're an advanced SEO person, it's going to find a little bit remedial. I think one of the things you'll like about it is that it's holistic, and you'll love the fact that if you hand it to your client, they're going to be so educated on why they need to keep you forever.
Yes.
I have a thing. That's really why I wrote it. That was one of my goals was, hey, let's have, take this book and do it yourself or just understand the process. You know how valuable it is. But go check that out on the site. We've actually got, if you get it on Amazon, there's a three-book bundle bundle. We got a free ebook from the guys at Yoast. That's like a great website SEO one. Mm. We've got a local SEO free book, and we've got one from Larry Kim, formerly of WordStream. So there's like a three free ebook bundle if you head back to the site with your Amazon code. And then check out kcwebdesigner.com. Man, that's the little Kansas City boutique agency that could. Still is kind of a cash cow for me in terms of a business that's growing. But it all started from one ugly purple and yellow auto detailing website. And then I like to hang out on LinkedIn. And of course, check out podcastbookers.com. That's my new little side business that we've got where we're helping people get booked on great podcasts.
Fantastic. And your LinkedIn name, so it's SEO Kansas City, is that right?
It is. That's like a relic, old school, spammy, link that I just never changed back when keyword stuffed URLs were helpful. But that's what I'm stuck with. So
thanks. And thanks for everyone for listening. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review. As mentioned at the beginning, feedback and suggestions. The email is podcast@sitevisibility.com. You can tweet at Site Visibility. Remember also, we have a Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. So I think that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Phil.
That's it. That's a big thank you for having me on the show.
Absolute pleasure. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.